Let me go around real quick. Tony, I'd say the weather's got him in.
He's back,
okay. All right, weather and back, that's two things. I know about Becky. John is working. Brenda's working.
Helen,
she's okay. Yeah, this weather, I figured that, yeah. All right, so that gets everybody caught up. And so we left off in Romans 8:28, didn't we? And we're talking about, we're in the book of Jude, but you, everyone knows I'm never in the book we're in. I'm in the book, and because the book will teach us what the book says. And so we're talking about being called. And for our guest and our visitor today, we're going to sort of bring her up speed, and we're going to show her how smart this class is. She'll be amazed. I mean, she'll be shocked. The class will be shocked. And I want to thank Becky. This is 2 weeks in a row she's on time. She loves Sunday school now. All right. Now, so we were talking about in Jude, he says that we are sanctified by God the Father. Honey, calm down now. Calm down. Don't try to impress too much. Don't try to impress too much. Yeah, this one is really impressive, I'm telling you. Says that we are sanctified by God the Father, preserved by, go ahead. Jesus Christ, honey. I thought you remembered. Preserved by Jesus Christ and called. And now you remember in the Greek language, the thing in the sentence that gets the most emphasis is mentioned last. But in the English language, the thing that gets the most emphasis is mentioned first. So what we did is we reversed that, and we've been talking about called. And we said two things about being called.
External
and internal. You want to keep those in orders because, that's how it goes. In other words, we talked about the external call being the general call, the general invitation that God gives to everyone. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe. Now, so the call is to everyone, right? Everyone. But we showed you that external call can be thank you. I knew you'd get it. Rejected because I took you over, and he says that a man made a great supper and bid many to come. And they, with one consent, began to make excuse. And we said that an excuse is a reason wrapped up in a lie. In other words, they said, one said, I bought a piece of ground. And I must go
look at it.
And we said, that's stupid. Who buys a piece of ground before you look at it? You buy the ground after you look at it. So we know that was just a reason wrapped up in lie. They didn't want to come. They didn't want to accept the invitation of the supper. And then the second one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must go and prove them. Again, who does that? That's like, I never understand. I see these trucks going around with a car on the back of it. It's called Carvana, something. And, they're taking that car to deliver to someone. They bought it off the internet. I'm not buying something like that off the internet. I want to see it, smell it, look it over, touch it, kick it. I'm not buying something off the internet. But evidently that's how people do it. That's foolish. I'm not going to buy a car I can't see. But these people bought 5 yoke oxen and had to go get them proof. No, I don't believe that. And then the last one was the most foolish. I can remember to this day my dad preaching on that. Okay. Honey, did you overdose on your medicine this morning? God. Gino Canobly is really working on her. He says, I married a wife. Now, I can remember my dad, he preached. He says, where else would you want to take your wife than to a supper that's free? Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want to? except my little bride. I thought I tricked her, Jackie. I did. You know, today's her birthday. And I thought, I know how I'm going to get her to go out to eat. I'm going to get Les to invite us out to go with him and Jackie. She'll surely fall for that. So Les calls me up. I'd already talked to Les, and Les calls me up. I said, honey, Les is wanting me and you to go out to eat, him and Jackie, tomorrow. She said, I heard you whispering. She says, going to be too crowded Valentine weekend. We'll go another time. She won't go out. She won't get out. She won't come out. Where would I want to take her but to a free supper? But I can't get her to go. So tomorrow we're just going to hit the road, and wherever we end up, we end up. And you know, I'll have to include birthday today and Valentine tomorrow, and I'll be broke by tomorrow night. Oh, no, that's not good. But that just shows, I don't want to get too far down the road, that just shows that the and remember we talked about, and I want to come over here because I love my guest. We don't want to ever forget that the invitation is from God. Mm-hmm. Think about that. The one who made us, the one who created everything we see, the one who sustains everything you see and don't see, the Bible says, with his word, with the power of his word, he sustains it. He would humble himself to invite us. Think about that. I mean, who in here is worthy of God inviting you to anything? Especially this fat boy. But God did. And I'm so glad. At that red light, and I know y'all get tired of hearing about my red light, but I ain't tired of it, so I'm going to keep mentioning it. At that red light in Orlando, in Winter Park, Florida, in 1982 February, bless God, I said, I'm going to respond, s'il vous plaît. I'm going to respond as soon as possible. And you know what, honey? Before the red light could change, this old boy went through different than me. And the one that stopped at that red light. That's what the calling is. That's what it means when we accept the invitation of God. But because then it goes to that internal call, and that's where I've spent most of the time. Because that's where the sanctification takes place. That's where the change takes place. That's where the transfiguration takes place. That's where the transformation takes place. That's where God starts acting. You have nothing to do with it. All you did was say, yes, God, I'll take your invitation. Boy, and he said, well, get out of the way, and I'll do the rest. And I'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'll make you one that's desirous of my word, desirous of my will, desirous of me. And that's what he's done. And that's what that calling is. It's a blessing. And we left off last week. We're in Romans 8:28. He says, for we know. Now we know. And remember, I showed you the previous verses. Anybody remember what the previous verse was about to let you know? Don't look. Does anybody remember? Look, my mind is shot. I'm serious. I'm not trying to get sympathy. My mind is just about shot. I can't remember a thing. But the one thing I pray for every day, Lord, if I can't remember my name, let me remember your word. Because if I can remember that book, if I can remember those words, it'll be all I need if I don't recognize Becky when she walks in the room. Because God won't forget me. So he says, in the previous verses, he talks about how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. We don't know how to pray, he says. But the Holy Spirit who hears your prayer knows exactly and the Father knoweth the mind of the Spirit, he says. All we got to do is go to him. And how we don't, when we don't know how to pray or what we don't know what to pray for, we still go to him because the Holy Spirit knows and he prays for us.
I want you to think about this, Sandy. When I say the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, because he says we're one. God prays to himself for you. Ha! I reckon that prayer's going to get answered. So he says, and then he follows up with that verse. It says, for now we know. For we know now that all things. Yeah, shout it out, honey. Don't just whisper it. For we know that all things. That nothing's left out when it says all things. For we know that all things. That's when you're sick. That's when someone in your family dies. That's when someone in your family hurts you. We know that all things work together for good. Oh, I tell you, that girl is something else. They ain't no need me teach, honey. Get up and tell them. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his plan. And then he follows that up by saying, not only are we called, we are predestinated, predetermined, preordained. In other words, God has set in cement. I say cement. That's the only thing I can think of that lets me know that it don't move. God has set in cement his plan, his purpose. If you come to him through his son, it's done. And it ain't going to change. And not only are you predestinated, he says you're justified. You just don't start doing right things. You know, we have these people say, well, I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to start doing the right thing. Well, you might not. Because the right thing is determined by God. And I'll guarantee you, if you're not saved, you're not going to do what's right in God's eyes. Because the very first thing to do what's right in his eyes, come to his son, accept that invitation, and get made new.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're just trying to do good, and you'll end up bad. So he says, but you're justified. And not only are you justified, and this is where we left off. Not only are you justified, you're glorified. And I said, how many of you is in your glorified body? Nobody raised their hand, rightfully so. But you're glorified. And what that means, Becky, is this. It's the same as already done. You may not have your glorified body yet. But in God's eyes, you've got it. You just ain't got it. It's done. It's finished. Finito. It's over. That's who we are. We're not trying to be somebody. We're not trying to be a Christian.
No.
I don't even ask people for Christian anymore. Les and I went out to get some sausage the other day. Les got enough sausage to outdo Jimmy Dean. But anyway, the man, he was, I think he was in his early 80s, I believe. And I just don't like to leave people just with a friendly shake. I said, sir, do you know the Lord? Are you saved? I didn't say, are you a Christian? My goodness, everybody's Christian anymore. They're either a Christian or they'll say, no, I'm Catholic. Or, no, I'm Jewish. I don't care what that is. I want to know if you're saved. God saves Catholics. God saves Jews. God saves everybody that'll come to him. And so I said, are you saved? He said, yes, sir. I said, boy, that's good. That's good. I said, therefore, if I don't see you again here, I'll see you in heaven. He said, well, you better hurry. In other words, you better hurry back and get some more sausage because I ain't got that much longer. But isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know? And so he says, you're glorified. And now we're going to pick up and go. Now, Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and the callings of God are without, starts with an R, next letter's E, next letter's P, next letter's E, huh? Repent. You know what that means, Joan, since you answered, I'm coming over here.
You never get away from
God ain't going to change his mind, honey. You accepted his invitation. He changed you. He gave you a right to come to heaven, and he ain't never going to change that. You say, but Tom, what if I do? No, you can't do something to get God to change his mind on that. He says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. If you look over in 2 Timothy chapter somewhere, he talks about that the calling of God is a high calling in Philippians. In Hebrews, he calls it a heavenly calling. And in 2 Timothy, he calls it a holy calling. The Bible talks about what the calling is. The Bible says that we are called to fellowship with his Son. Think about that. Listen, maybe you'd have to live the life that I've lived in the past to understand the enormity of that. That he would call me to be in fellowship with his Son. Not only are we called to fellowship with his Son, we're called to inherit a blessing. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Think about that. We're not trying to be that, Becky. We're not trying to be that, Stacy. Listen, if we have been called, if we are the called, that's who we are. We're receiving a blessing from God. Not only that, he says that we are called to peace. We're called to freedom. We're called to a lively hope. We're called to eternal life. That's all that come with the invitation. And then he says in Galatians 5:13, he says that we are called to freedom. Now I'm going to quote someone that everyone's familiar with. And you're familiar with these words. You remember in his speech he said, free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, free at last. I understand what he was saying, Martin Luther King. But he was wrong. I know he meant well. Outside Christ, there's no freedom. Oh, we've done our best. Listen, it's sin to treat someone different because of their skin color. And this country's got a terrible history in that. But folks, we can't undo history. And we can't do away with history. We got to remember history, so bless God, we don't do it again. But their only freedom is in Christ. I don't care what your skin color is. And what he says, when we're called to freedom, what he's talking about is we're free from sin. We're free from the power of sin. Listen, sin has a great power over people. It causes people to do things they'd never do. It causes a man to beat a woman. It causes a man or a woman to abuse a child. I can't imagine that. But that's the power it has. But we are free from it if we are in Christ. Because he says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Listen, that's true. But you're not there unless you're in Christ. You don't have that freedom unless you are in Christ. I don't care how hard you try. You are capable of anything. But not only are we free from the power of sin, we're free from the penalty of sin. I'm not going to hell. You say, Tom, you're bragging. No. I'm giving thanks to the one that made that possible. I'm not going because of what he did. He went for me.
He took my penalty for me. But here's one I really like. One day, as that song says, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And Amy, I'm going to walk through those pearly gates. And you know what I'm going to say? Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I'll be free from the presence of sin. That's freedom. That's the freedom we get. So we see in that calling that we're sanctified. We're sanctified, and I gave you all three. We're sanctified by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Spirit. That means God sets you apart for Himself. But you remember I said some translations have that as beloved. Well, I want to cover that. I don't know about you. I like being loved. It's a good feeling to be loved. It's a good feeling to love. But then I have to think of myself, Cindy. I love my little bride more than anything in this world. But that love I have for her is capable of failing. As hard as I try, sometimes I get in the flesh and I say stuff to her that I don't mean. I don't mean bad things. I just mean I get quick with her. I don't like that. But you know whose love can't fail you? God's love for you can't fail you. Now, just like that calling is external and internal, you better listen to me. Some might agree, some might not. I don't care. I never care. I just teach what the Holy Spirit tells me to. The love of God is both external and internal, folks. I'll show it to you. I mean, I don't give you nothing unless it's, where's my book? It's up here. John 3:16. What does it say? Now, wait just a second, honey. See, I tell you, that girl, she's. Now, you do it with in unison. That means, you know, our choir director back here will tell you what unison is. That means everybody's singing the same note. And it says, for God so loved the world. Stop. That's general love, folks. Does that mean everyone in this world experiences the love of God? Not on your life. Because John 3:36 says that whosoever believeth hath life. But they that believe not hath not life. And the wrath of God abideth on them. If you tell me for 1 second that an unsaved person is experiencing the love of God, I'd call you a liar. I'd tell you it's untrue. As we could say in this day and age, it's misinformation. See, that's what the world wants us to think. That where it says, for God so loved the world, oh, we're all God's children and God loves everybody. Well, I got news for you. You die without His Son, you'll see if He loves you. He can't love you. He'd have to deny Himself to love you. I know He's God is love. I get that. The Bible says so. God is love. And it says that love is not that we love Him, but that He loved us first. Right? I get all that. But that don't mean you experience the love of God. Now let me show it to you. I'll demonstrate to you. Look at John 14. I believe it is John 14:23. John 14:23. If it's not there, I'll tell you what it says. John 14:23. Everyone knows what John 14 is about, right? That's one where he says, you know, he's going away, but if he goes away, he'll come again, receives unto himself where we may be. You know what it's about then, right? And so he comes down here to 14,
23, and he says, or 21, and he says this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that. Okay. Now, what does it mean to have and to keep his commandments? What do you think that means? Okay, all right, let me ask something. Don't get in there. just hold it. I don't want to carry this too far. Now, you have my money clip.
I do.
And because it's in your possession now.
It's mine now.
That's fine. Because it's in your possession, you get everything that comes with it. It belongs to you. And it does. And just don't get carried away. This is a hypothetical. And because you have it in your
possession,
you get the
benefits
of it, right?
Right.
And I assure you, if you knew what was in there, you would
appreciate
guard it.
I am guarding it.
Ladies, if you had a 3-carat diamond ring, that's valuable. Mm-hmm. It was given to you. You possess it. You get the benefits of it. Well, you're not just going to lay it around, are you?
No.
You're going to
guard it.
That's what he means. If you have it in your possession, my word. Now, remember John 1 says, what about the word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. So, if you have his word, who do you have? You have him in possession. Because he says, the one thing that we're going to do to let you know that we love you is that my Father and I are going to come. And this is what happens at salvation now. We're going to come and take up our abode. In other words, you're going to be in our possession and we're going to be in your possession. And you are going to guard that. And he's, I'll take that back now. It's over with. Whew, I'm getting nervous. He says, that's the way you know that you love me. If the word means nothing to you, you can't say you love him. Because he says, that's how you know you love me. If you don't guard that, and what I mean by guarding it is if in your life, if your way of living doesn't match to honor that, and that's the other word for keep, is to honor, to guard. Your life should show what that book says it should show. If it doesn't, don't go around saying, I love Jesus. You're making a mockery of it. Because he says, that's how you know that you love him. Now notice what else it says. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be of. Now did you notice how it went from God so loved the world to an individual right there? He ain't talking about the world. He's talking about Sandy. I'm sorry, your first name? Crystal. Crystal, huh? Crystal River. That's in heaven. Good. I can remember that. In other words, you can't rely on what she's got. She can't rely on what you've got. You can't rely on Becky. Becky can't rely. Salvation is individual.
That's right.
And the love of God is individual. God loved the whole world. He gave his son. But I'm telling you right now, if an individual doesn't know Jesus Christ, they don't know the love of God. They don't experience the love of God. And he can't love them in the same way. It's just not possible because he'd have to go against his own word. So then he comes on down here and he says, he is loved of my Father and I will. Notice how that follows.
If you have my word at my commandments and you guard them and you love, it shows you love me, then my Father's going to love you. And if my Father loves you, I love you. Well, what's the opposite of that? Well, the opposite of that is if you don't have my word, if you don't keep my word, you don't love me, the Father don't love you, and the Son don't love you. That's what it says. Because anyone knows that for a positive to be true, the negative must be true. Otherwise, it's nothing. So he comes on down and he says this. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will. Not he should. Not he might. Not he ought to. He will keep or guard or honor my words. And my Father will. Well, that tells me that if I don't have the word, if I don't keep the word, I don't love him and he don't love me. Now, maybe you see it that way. Maybe you don't. That's how I see it. And I think that's right. And I'm the teacher. No, I'm just kidding. Now, and here's what he says. Oh, I love this. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Not with the world. He loves the world. But he ain't coming to take up his abode in the world. He's coming to take up his abode in those that have his word, keep his word, and prove by that they love his Son. Therefore, the Father will love them, and the Son will love them, and they are in the love of God. It's that simple. In fact, Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, look at 16:27. Boy, I'm about to run out of time. I'm just getting started. I'm going to start teaching at 9 o'clock. If anybody wants to show up, they can. Or you can come in at 10 and get halfway in. For the Father himself loveth you. What's that next word?
Because.
See, the world don't want that because. They want God to love them regardless of who they are, what they do, how they live.
That's right.
God just loves me. I'm a child of God. Well, no, you ain't. Because he says, he loveth you because.
You have loved me.
Because what?
You have loved me.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what proves your love for him?
You keep
his commandments, his word. Honor him. You cherish them. You desire them. You want to live according to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
For the Father himself loveth you because you have loved me. And have what?
Believe.
All goes back to that, doesn't it? That believed is the exception, is the accepting of the invitation. Believed that I came out from God. Now look at 17. Now, has everyone read through chapter 17 thoroughly? I don't know. I've mentioned it lots of times. It's the what I would call the priestly prayer. It's Jesus' prayer to his Father. He's getting ready to be crucified now. His hour's come, he says. And he says, Father, would you restore to me the glory that I had with you from the foundation of the world? In other words, Father, I humbled myself. I came here in the flesh, but now it's time for me to come back. And I want to come back and be restored to the glory, to the place, to the position that I had with you before. But before he goes, oh God, I tell you, I get so thrilled when I know that Jesus is praying for me. I've asked in here for people, different people to pray for me, and I do because I believe in you. I've had people ask me for prayer requests, and I hope it's because they believe in me. but not just because they believe in me, but because they believe in me and believing in him. And so, but it's such a higher place to know that Jesus is in the garden praying for me. You say, no, Tom, no, I read that. He's praying for the disciples. Well, he is. He starts out praying for the disciples. And he said, now, Father, I'm going away, but I I've kept these. He says, I've kept them all except. I kept them all. None's lost except. Huh? Oh, Judas, honey.
Okay.
Judas. And he says, I've kept them all and none are lost except the son of perdition, that it might be fulfilled of Scripture. He was never mine. In fact, he was a thief from the beginning, he said. But these others, I'm praying. And he says, I've kept them, but I'm going away. Now, Father, I pray that you'll keep them. Oh, Lord, don't you like that? Huh? You say, Jesus ain't in here this morning. I'll tell you one thing. I'm being kept. Huh? I'm being kept by the Father. Huh? He says, and he says, and in another place, he says, now listen, it's needful for that I go away. I got to go away. Why do you have to go away? Well, listen, in the flesh, he can only be in one place at one time. I mean, he could be over at your house helping you, but maybe old Tom needs help over at his place. Well, I can't get over it just yet. He says, so it's needful that I go away. For if I go away, all the Father's going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he says. Well, that means he can be over at your house. He can be over at my house. He can be over at Gene's house. He can be with Uncle Carol when he went down that hill just a flying and hit that cart path. He can be with him too. Oh, y'all remember my uncle. He did what they said not to do. They told him not to go up on that hill. He went up on that hill and tried to hit that shot, and he lost his balance, and down the hill he went a run and he couldn't stop. And where he stops, nobody knows. But he's doing okay according to Uncle Gene. So, and that's good. So where was I at? I was over here in 22. And he's set up here just previous to that. He said, now, Father, I pray not only for these, meaning the 11, but for all those that will come after them that will believe their word. In other words, every time Gene preached and someone believed and they came forward and they accepted Christ, you know what Jesus does? Oh, I love this. I'll just come right over here because you seem like you liked it.
I do.
Here's what he does. It's full of his blood. Oh, it's good. Huh? You come and you receive that invitation. Mm-hmm. He takes that thing. Whew, glory, it's bad. It's about better than I can stand.
Jesus,
and he starts writing that name.
That's right.
Boy. Now you're added to the list. Now he's praying for you. Huh? Now he's praying for you. And he comes down here and he says, in 23, he says, I in them, and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast. Here's the best part. He says, you're going to love them in the same way you love me. Think about that. Think about how much God, the Father, Crystal, loves his son. He would move heaven and earth for his son. But guess what? When you believe in him, when you come to him, when you're called, when you're sanctified, he loves you in the same way. He'll move heaven and earth for you. Glory. That's good. I don't care what anybody says. Ephesians 1 and 16 says that we are accepted. I got to go to COVID. I know you don't like it, but I got to go to COVID. Now, that in some places, they've got these passports that shows you've been vaccinated. Now, I've been vaccinated. I've had them all. I'll take 10 more if they want to. I don't care. Make any difference to me. I think we ought to cut it out, though. It don't seem to be working. It seems to be, everybody gets COVID. I say, well, did you have your shots? Yeah, I had them shots. Well, that's working. I say, well, did you have a mask on? Yeah, I had a mask on, too. And I was 10 foot apart. I wasn't just 6 foot apart. Don't know how I got that. I've had some of them say, well, they haven't even been out of the house. So anyway, but I'll do it if they want. And listen, I'm a good soldier. If they say take them, I'll take them. I don't care. But they got these passports. And you know in some places, I've been over enough. Did you know in some places you can't even go into a restaurant unless you show them that you've been vaccinated? Well, let me tell you something. You don't care if I point you, do you? You ain't going through them pearly gates unless you show that you've been vaccinated with the blood. You ain't going in. You ain't even going to see them. Now, there's some restaurants I wouldn't want to go in anyway. They're too fancy. They're too expensive. I mean, you pay $40. I've been to some of them. You pay $40 or $50 for dinner, and they bring that plate out there. It's got a little something in the middle of it about that big. And you want to say, well, where's my other $39 worth? But it's pretty. You know, they got it all dolled up, and they got stuff around it, you know. Oh, by the way, I never did figure out what the cake was. Boy, was it good. I mean, you don't have to know what something is. No, it's good.
That's right.
Right? That's right. I tell you, little Jackie, she brought a couple pieces over for my little bride, you know. Well, my little bride's trying to stay off the sugar. She's trying to do good. So, you know, I had to help her out. So I said, honey, take a bite off of it. So she took a bite, and then I commenced to help her out. And boy, was it good. I don't know. I never did figure out what. I thought at first that's chess pie. And I said, no, that ain't chess pie. And then I said, Ming said, I believe that's got apples in it. I said, yeah, I believe that's got apples in it. And then the other one, I said, well, that looks like a cinnamon roll with caramel on top. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. It was good. And thank you. Now, back to, oh gosh, I'll pick up there next week.